Katie Maddox is government affairs representative at the Federal Managers Association. Katie, continuing resolution, it might not be as bad for federal employees as an omnibus, and we're just about out of time now to get an omnibus. The reason that I say that is, in a CR, if they're going to try to slap it together in the few days that they have left, it's very unlikely they'll be able to stick anything in there that really dramatically affects federal employees, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. But, I mean, I think that's going to be better than nothing. We have, what, 5 legislative days left?
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't think no one in the federal workforce wants to start the holiday season with a government shutdown. So if we have to take it, you know, we'll do the CR. We want government to keep being funded. But, I mean, in the long run, this is going to catch up with us. This isn't how we manage the federal budget.
I guess the good news that I see is that Bloomberg News is reporting this afternoon that Congress, the House in particular, is going to try to figure out a way to let the people who want to rant about the immigration thing rant about it without it impacting whatever the budget vehicle is, which means the likelihood of a shutdown becomes just about zero, it would seem to me.
Yeah, and that would be great. No, like I said, no one wants that. When it happened last time, just too much was at stake. Our economy suffered greatly. We cannot let that happen again.
The idea of a shutdown is not just anathema to people in government. It's the same for people in Congress. They saw, most of them at least, understand what happened to them popularity-wise when it happened the last time. And so I hope we can get rid of the idea of a shutdown. At least we'll see what happens when they come back after Thanksgiving. But you're right, there are just a few days left. Is there any reason to expect anything else, or do you think that all of the time that they spend when they come back after Thanksgiving will be focused on let's just get this budget thing done and get out of here?
I really hope that they allocate all, you know, the good majority of their time to doing the budget. I really think, you know, that needs to take priority. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find anyone who says differently.
The budget process has played itself out now. I mean, we've been talking about these issues 2 or 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
What's reasonable to expect, do you think, for fiscal 2015? Let's assume that we get something in place that takes care of the rest of fiscal 2015. What's reasonable to look forward to for us to start thinking things might change in the new Congress as the new leaders of the new Congress are promising?
I mean, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I don't know how much is actually going to change. And unfortunately, I think the best thing that we can all hope for is that levels stay the same. And I mean, that's just not good. And people are already scraping the bottom of the barrel, you know, to get their congressionally mandated missions and goals accomplished. And it's a struggle to get it done at those levels.
Yeah, budget number-wise, I understand that. And I think everybody's reconciled to that. I'm thinking more about what can we think of process-wise. Like, I would think it would be advantageous for us to see some kind of discussions on what the budgets will look like, you know, maybe February or March, maybe even before the president submits his budget request. At least that would be a sign, I would think, that they're serious about trying to get back to regular order, as we've heard them talk about.
Yeah, it would be nice if they, you know, start doing some future planning, you know, and see what they can do along the lines, you know, just to make some solid investments. You know, and maybe think, you know, well, what do we need 5 years from now and not what do we need 5 months from now?
Katie Maddox of the Federal Managers Association. Another issue that is on your radar screen that I haven't heard much about nor talked much about is a per diem issue for Defense Department employees. What's the issue there and why is that ringing your bell, Katie?
DOD has implemented a reduction of per diem allowances that went into effect on November 1st. It really went under the radar, but basically what it's calling for is civilian defense employees on TDY, temporary duty assignment, between 30 and 180 days will see a reduction of their allowance by 25%. And those over 180 days will face a 45% reduction. And, you know, FMA, about 60% of our membership is in DOD, and a lot of them go on TDY. You know, we have our folks in Norfolk Shipyard go over to Puget Sound and help out over there, and vice versa. There's a lot of back and forth between, you know, DOD facilities. And, you know, they're going to struggle to find temporary housing, meal allotments, and everyone is really worried that people are going to be paying out of pocket, you know, to meet these reductions. And, you know, it's not only going to affect DOD employees, it's also going to affect local lodging, hotels, restaurants. They're not going to see as much money. So it's really going to not just impact local economies, but also, you know, as the nation as a whole.
The reason they want to do this is pretty obvious, Katie. Harvey Johnson, the director of the Defense Travel Management Office, says this will save the Pentagon about $22 million a year, and that's pretty straightforward. But there's also an incentive here. He says the changes should give long-term TDY travelers an incentive to look for extended stay lodgings, which he says are more expensive. Do we have any sense that the Pentagon is going to put in place any kind of mechanism to help its employees find those different types of accommodations, or are they going to kind of be out on their own looking for these things?
No, I haven't heard anything solid from DOD. But I know I've met with, you know, lodging associations, and they've said, you know, there really isn't, you know, temporary leases that you can do. I think, you know, the least you can get is 6 months, you know, and we have folks, you know, obviously, you know, 180 days isn't that long. You can't rent an apartment for that long. And I know there has also been discussion, well, what about on-base housing? But that's, you know, military is given priority to that, not civilian defense employees. So I just don't know where this housing is going to come from. And I really think that savings is looked at in a vacuum. You don't understand, you know, what cost this is going to have in morale. You're not looking at, you know, what is going on with TDY and why it's needed, and the benefits you get out of it. They're really looking at it narrow-mindedly.
There are two possibilities, I guess, and I don't know enough about the way that your members travel to understand them, whether they apply or not, but one concept I'm thinking of is extended stay type hotels where you have a little bit more of a kitchen and stuff like that, where the idea is you're going to be there for 2 or 3 weeks. And then there are the things like the Oakwoods and so on that are almost like apartments. They're usually studios, but they're fully stocked with, like, you know, dinnerware and all of that jazz too. What I don't know, and what I wonder if anybody has looked into, is how that's going to fit with the per diem rates that DOD is going to allow from now on.
When you have those, you know, hotels that they are fully stocked, you're anticipating a longer stay. Those add up really quickly, and I don't think they're going to meet the 25% reduction or the 45%, and definitely not the 45% reduction. And with the places that are targeted for stays that are 2 to 3 weeks, TDY can last up to, you know, 5 months. That's really not cutting it.